Amen. Well, how many of you are glad to be here? I'm telling you what, I think it's amen. Amen. I think it's something that really has the power within it to make a difference in your life and in mine. You know, I am not a men's meeting kind of guy in the sense of a big rah-rah type meeting where a whole bunch of guys get together and like we said on that Sunday morning, tear phone books and all those kinds of things. For a number of years now, men here, both on staff and in the congregation, have been approaching me to start something up in regards to men's ministry. And I'll be honest, I never really had a go-ahead in my heart to start one. But a couple of months ago, I was praying, and actually I'd just gone through a season where I was reading the book of Proverbs. And in my time of prayer, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to start a men's ministry there in the church. That's for the men of Word of Life and any other man who wants to come. And call it Mighty Men. And even before that, years ago, I was praying, and the Lord really dealt with me about a story back in the book of Samuel, where David was cast out into the hills of Adullam, and he was out there basically running for his life. And in that time, all the men and all the people within the city and in the nation of Israel who were downcast, who were weakened, who were indebted, they ran out to him. And it said they escaped into the hills of Adullam. And it was there that they became mighty men, David included. And we actually toyed with that name at our church on 18, The Escape. Because that's what this ministry is all about. You come here no matter what level of living you're living on, no matter what stage of manhood you're on right now, you're to come here. That's what this place is for. And to learn how to be mighty in life, how to get stronger and achieve success. Friends, in this men's meeting, we're not going to put anyone under condemnation. We're not going to exalt one man above another man. No, our goal here is to exalt the man, Jesus Christ. And through that, have that man make the difference in all of us men. And as I was studying and getting ready for the session when the Lord put it on my heart to start up this ministry, the Lord really brought me back to the book of Proverbs and told me that every session we have as a meeting, whether it's in this meeting or in other meetings, to teach out of the book of Proverbs. Well, I immediately just started reading it again and again. And throughout the book of Proverbs, you see certain themes, but I didn't quite realize why he wanted me to minister out of the book of Proverbs until just the other day. I was eating at Steak Escape on my lunch break here from the church, and I went down there and was just eating, and I had my Bible out. I was by myself and had a book, and I was just kind of reading, spending some time with the Lord. And the Lord dropped into my heart. He said, go look at the book of Proverbs again. And so I did. And as I was reading, I saw something that I'd never seen before. And that was all throughout the book of Proverbs, the writer keeps saying, my son, my son. In fact, go over to the book of Proverbs. If you don't have a Bible, I know we got some ushers in here this morning who, if you'd want a Bible, they'll give you one. They know where to find them. Go over to the book of Proverbs. And let's look here at a couple of passages of Scripture. Just lift your hand if you don't have one, and they'll give you one. We'll give you a couple of minutes to open up your Bibles. I noticed throughout the book of Proverbs, it was saying, my son, over and over again, my son. I mean, all the way from chapter 1, all throughout the book, my son, my son, my son, incline thine ears to the words of thy father. My son, my son, my son, over and over and over again. You can open up in the book of Proverbs, and we'll see here in chapter 1. Look at a couple of these statements in verse 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, Forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Go down to verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from them. On and on we can make these points. But if you read the book of Proverbs, you see very quickly, it is a father talking to a son. A lot of it is written by Solomon. The book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. And he's not only giving instruction to his sons, he's reflecting back to when his father gave him instruction. His father being David. And friends, as I began reading this, I began seeing something very interesting. That this is God's book to his sons. The role of a father, it's unmatched by any other thing, friend. And in our society today, it seems like that there are less and less men who are willing to step up and be the godly father that God has called them to be. There's nothing closer to the nature of God than fatherhood. When he started all creation, he started it with a son, with a man, Adam. Before Eve ever came, he told that man, I want you to have a family after you. Before he gave him a commandment of tending to a garden, he gave him a commandment to be a father. Fatherhood is the nature of God, and a father in a man's life is of the utmost importance. God designed a father to teach his sons how to be men. How to be fathers themselves. God put fathers in the earth today to teach sons how to be men of love and at the same time be men of strength. How to be man of compassion, but also how to be a conqueror. How to have success in business. How to have success as a man in his relationship with women. How to be a good father himself. God put fathers in a son's life so that when that son is young and in his household, that father can instruct him where he can tell him what he needs to do to be a success. After that son begins to grow up, that father still to play a role in that son's life, only it changes from instruction to advice. There is a difference. Instruction is, it's not, oh, you might want to think about doing this. It is, you need to do this. But when our sons get out of our households, it shifts from, we can't control them anymore. We can't control their actions, but we can advise them. And that's what fatherhood is for. It's for, I love the patriarchs in the Old Testament. You see them on their deathbed saying, pick me up, placing canes underneath them where they can put their hands on their sons and bless them. A godly father cannot be matched by any other force on this earth other than our Heavenly Father. It is a powerful principle in a man's life. And unfortunately, us as men, especially as we get older, our fathers begin to go home to be with the Lord themselves, and we don't have that counsel in the natural that we used to have. I myself, my father passed away when I was 17 years old. He was a wonderful man who instructed me in a lot of things. But I can remember even just 2 years ago, about this time, out on we took a beach trip, and we were out there at the beach, and it was right after Christmas. And I can remember walking on the beach one day, and we were gearing up to build this facility. And I was just so upset in a way because I was wanting my father to be there with me. Not to even see what I was doing or to give me a pat on the back, but I needed instruction. I needed advice. I needed someone who could come alongside me and say, this is what you need to do. Watch out for this. Be careful about this. Watch for this in people. Look out for this in people. I needed someone who could do that. And so I'll be honest, I was walking on the beach and I was getting emotional because I was missing that fatherly counsel, that fatherly advice. And I'm not an emotional guy. But there on the beach, facing the pressure of making decisions that I'd never had to make before, looking for things that I'd never had to look for before, I was missing my father. And I got that sense as I was walking on the beach that it was more than just me being sad, but on the inside, I felt the Lord tugging on my heart. And I kid you not, friend, I can remember walking back into the little place where we were staying and walking into my room and just kind of getting on my knees there. Felt like I should pray. And the Lord dealt with me that He could be my Father. That the counsel that my Father would have given me, He can give me. That if I would look to Him like I would look to my Father if He was here today. In fact, even on that walk, I said, my Lord, if I could just have Him for an hour. If I could just have my Father back here for an hour. The questions I would ask. How I would cling to every one of His words. And I just felt the Lord instructing me, why don't you do that with me every day? Cling to my words. And so throughout this journey of life, I've strove to and striven to do that, to cling to His word. But this week, even reading the book of Proverbs, you see how it's God's book to His sons. And friends, I don't know what your relationship with your Father is like. I pray it's one that's a blessing to you. One that ministers life to you. Maybe there are even father and sons in here this morning. If so, that's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful tool. A godly father is a blessing. But maybe you're like me and your father's no longer here. Or maybe you're like another person and their father is not a godly father. That growing up in their household, they saw something completely different than what God would desire us to see. That instead of love, they saw anger. Instead of forgiveness and mercy, they saw stress and violence. Or maybe they didn't see anything. Maybe they grew up without that role of a father in their life at all. I don't know which one of those identifies with you. But friends, I'm telling you, no matter what state you're in, God is your Father. And before you had a natural father, you had a heavenly father. He placed you under the custody, if you will, under the leadership of a physical man. But that does not mean that he was not your father even before that man was. He wants to help you. He wants to mold you. He wants to make you a success in this life. And friend, I'm telling you, I don't know what you're struggling with. I'm sure there are people struggling on every different arena of life. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I do know this, God can fix it. That by His grace and mercy, He can set you free from lust. He can set you free from adultery. We're going to hit on some heavy issues. He can set you free from alcohol. He can set you free from smoking. He can set you free from any type of addiction. Friend, God can come in your life and completely transform you. He can make you a success in business. He can. He can make you a success in your family. I don't care if you never saw a father figure who was a good man. He can make you a good man. God can come in your life and completely transform it. But it does take a renewing of the mind. These things don't just happen by one men's event. That's why so often, like I said, I'm not that guy because I see people so geared up. I'm going to go to a men's event and have a life change. And friends, I'm telling you, there is some truth to that. And there are some conferences you can get in where, man, there's zeal there of the other men around you. And you can consecrate your life to God there. And that is important. But we mentioned it the other day. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years and still had some issues. Paul had an experience where Jesus appeared to him, changed his name from Saul to Paul. But even then, he spent years on the backside of a desert walking with the Lord before the Lord put him in ministry. Moses walked with the Lord for years and still had issues and didn't get into the promised land. It's not a one-time deal, friend. It's not a one-time rally. Those things can help us make crucial decisions. But friend, I'm telling you what is necessary is for us as men to come together with our God and come together with each other and say we are committed to living a life for Christ, not a meeting with Christ, not a men's explosion with Christ, not a phone book ripping contest with Christ, but a life with Christ. It takes a renewing of the mind in order to be transformed. And oftentimes, that takes time. So I said all that to say this. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't get frustrated when you miss it. Don't get frustrated when you're not the man that you feel like you should be. It is a process. Sometimes it will take time. But that's what this is for. It's for us to keep coming together as men and learning the principles that if we keep making mention of them and if we keep applying them in our own life, we can be a success. Our Father won't have it any other way. For the sons who will walk with Him, like the prodigal son running back to the father's house, what did the father do to that man? He made him a success. That man ran home broken, but when he got around his father again, his father made him a good man. His father restored him. His father transformed him. And friend, that's what we're after. Like we said, all of us may be broken in one area or another or overcoming something, but the goal is to just keep running to the Father's house, and there the Father will make us the men that He's called us to be. I noticed in the book of Proverbs, God's book to His sons, that there are three main issues that God talks to His sons about. There's many different points, many different words of wisdom, but three main subjects that He talks to His sons about. And He talks to him and says, if you deal with these three issues, you can be a success, you can be a good man. But if you leave these three issues undone, it will affect you. We find these three issues all throughout the book of Proverbs, not just once, but over and over again. The first issue is to get wisdom, to get instruction. You see it all throughout, starting in Proverbs chapter 1. He says, if you want to be simple, you can be simple. But he said, my son, I'm telling you, get wisdom, get understanding. In chapter 1, he talks about how wisdom is crying out in the streets. It's everywhere. It's all around you. If you want wisdom, you can get it. And he instructs his sons, go get wisdom. That's part of what this is for, is wisdom that will make us success in business, in our finances, and in our marriages, in our relationships. Not only are we going to do this meeting, but out of this meeting, our goal is to do a meeting that is once a month called Power Up. It'll be a meeting that's held on a Monday morning, kind of before work time. And for anybody who wants to come, what I'll do is I will interview a Christian businessman who has had Christ impact his life, but not only his life, how Christ has impacted his business. And we'll go over wisdom principles that this man has applied to achieve success. After this meeting is over, there are going to be sign-ups on either side of the altar where our visitors go and get their gifts. If you're interested in that, sign up for it. I want to ask you to please sign up and don't just try to attend, because we can't pick a venue until we know how many men will actually come to it. But if you sign up, we'll pick an event and a venue, if you will, that is big enough for everyone to come. The first thing that the father instructs his son to do is to get wisdom. He says that this wisdom, once you get it, it's going to do two more things. We'll find that in the book of Proverbs. These are our last two points. In the book of Proverbs chapter 2, he's talking about wisdom in the first couple of verses. But in verse 12, he starts saying something wisdom will do for you. In verse 12, he says that wisdom will deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. In verse 16, he says that wisdom will do something else. It'll deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger with which flattereth with her words, which, I love this, which forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None, everyone say none, that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. You see that not only does this father keep talking about to his sons to get wisdom. My sons, you got to get wisdom. It's the ticket to increase. It's the ticket to blessings. You got to get wisdom. He said, you're also going to do something else. That wisdom's going to lead you to see, I don't need to be around evil men anymore. That these men, their ways are teaching my soul. There's just some people I don't need to be around anymore. He says it'll lead you away from evil men and lead you to good men. That's the second side of this. First principle is we're going to get wisdom. The second part is for us to come together and be able to have fellowships with each other, to meet other Christian men so that iron can sharpen iron. When we're wise, we see we need it. We need Christian men in our lives. We need to be around each other in order to fulfill our destinies. We are a body of Christ, each one of us, a member in particular. We need each other to run our race. And then that third principle, and this is the one we're going to major on today. When we get wisdom, and it's one this father talks to his sons a lot about, it leads us away from the strange woman. It leaves us away. Leads us away from lust. Friend, this issue, this final issue, and we're going to major on this morning. It's an issue that I think for so long the church has kind of swept underneath the rug. And when it comes out, we call it ugly. We call it sinful. But we leave it there for it to come out again because we refuse to deal with it. And it's one that this father and our father had this book written down for us, his sons, to know this is an issue that you got to deal with. You can't keep it hidden. You can't keep it swept underneath a rug. It will bite you. And it's this issue of lust. This issue of allowing strange women, that being women outside of our wives, to entice us with flattering words to come unto them. This is not just fornication, sex outside of marriage. This is not just adultery, sex with another woman when you're married to a different woman. But this is also pornography. This is also magazines. This is also internet stuff. Jesus said something very interesting in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Let's go over there and look at it. Put a finger here in Proverbs. We're going to come back there. Go over here in the book of Matthew chapter 5, and let's look here in verse 27. Matthew 5 and verse 27. With the fingers still there in Proverbs, watch what Jesus says here. He says in verse 27, you have heard that it was said unto them of old time. And while they're turning on the screens, I don't know if we can do this. Yeah, we're putting up scriptures. Put up Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. On the screen, the book of Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. Watch what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, that thou shalt not commit adultery. We all know that that's something we ought not do. But watch what he says in verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable, that's a key word, for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Jesus is not mincing words here. He is saying that adultery is not just something that happens when a man has physical sex with a woman who is not his wife. He says adultery happens every single time a man looks on a woman to lust after her. Now somebody says, well, we're men and that's what happens. Friend, that's what the church has been saying for too long. I've heard preachers say, it's okay to do a little bit of window shopping. Just don't go into the store and buy anything. Seriously. And Jesus here said, this issue is so serious. He said that if you're dealing with it, it'd be better for you to pluck out your eye where you don't see it anymore. Now, no one go home and do that. He was making an example here. He was saying that if that is something that keeps you bound up in sin, it will hurt you. It will affect you. It will hurt the quality of your life and mine. This is not just something that preachers and pastors need to be aware of. This is something that for every one of God's sons, if this issue is not dealt with, and I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord, and I don't care how many PhDs you have by your name, if you are a man, this is an issue you have to deal with. This is an issue that every man has to face, every man has to fight, and every man has to win. And I'm telling you, you can win this fight. People say, well, not everyone deals with that. Yes, they do. You know how I know they do? Because in the book of Proverbs, he talks about it over and over and over and over and over again. And if it wasn't something that everybody, every man was having to face, he wouldn't talk about it that much. He's saying this is an issue that's got to be dealt with. And friends, people have treated this side of lust and this side of pornography like it's something that, it's not that serious. You remember Samson? God told him, Samson, you're my God-ordained man for this time. I'm giving you supernatural strength. And no man could take his strength. No situation was too big for Samson. Whatever he found himself in, whatever fight he was facing, he always won when the power of the Lord came upon him. But Samson had a weakness. While no man could bind him, while no situation could hold him back, a woman grabbed a hold of his heart. For years, Samson gave himself over to prostitutes. And one he finally fell in love with, and her name was Delilah. And he sat there with his lap and her head close to it, thinking nothing wrong with it. He had gotten up time and time again after that, and power was still in his life. Strength was still in his life. For years he had been with prostitutes. For years. For months he had been with this woman named Delilah, and his power was still there. But one day he got up, and in Judges chapter 16 and verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and he said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. See, for years he had been playing with it. And for years he could shake himself and come out of it and power would be there. And there with that, he was the ultimate man's man. But this woman got a hold of him. This woman grabbed a hold of his heart, found the secret to his strength, and she took it from him. And he woke up and he wasn't a man's man anymore. He was less than a man. These Philistines came and treated him like a dog, plucked out his eyes, bound him up, made him work as a slave. It wasn't the Philistines that did it to him. It wasn't another man. It wasn't the economy. It was this woman. A wrong woman got in his life and took his strength. I'm telling you, as a man, you got to deal with it. And he said, "Well, I've been doing it for years and it hasn't hurt me." So had Samson. It will hurt you. Go over to Proverbs. I said keep a finger there. I want to read a couple of these scriptures to you in the book of Proverbs. This is a father talking to a son. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. He said, "My son, attend unto my wisdom." Once again, this is your heavenly father talking to you. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow down thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." He's saying it looks smooth and it looks sweet. How many of you know nothing has changed from that time until this? The enemy will use everything he can, even from a billboard these days, to try to entice men over into lust. And he'll try to make it look smooth, and he'll try to make it look sweet. But watch this in verse 4. "Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell." He says, "Lest thou should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable. You cannot know them." He says, you think you'll have a grasp on it, but then she'll move. You don't know which way this thing's going to take you. He said, "Hear after me," in verse 7, "O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." This is God talking to his boys. He says, "Sons, remove your way far from her. Do not come near the door of her house." He says, "Lest you give your honor unto others. Lest you give your years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with your wealth, and laborers be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear unto them that instructed me." We could go on and on here and read different points. For the sake of time, we got many men's meetings. But friends, I'm telling you, the father keeps talking to his son about this issue over and over and over and over again. He lists five things that I found, all of them, like he said, many, many different things throughout the book of Proverbs, but five key things that will happen to a man who keeps yielding to a woman that's not his wife. Number one, he said, her house leads to death and sickness. Number two, you'll give your honor to others. What that means is when God honors something, it's like he shines his light on it. It's like people come out to see it. It's when he honors something, there's promotion there. There's favor there. It's God's light on it. And he says that when we get caught up with the wrong women, it takes that light off of us. We give our honor to another. And the third point, it will make your years cruel. The word cruel means terrible. Number four, he says strangers will possess your wealth. There's wealth that you should get, but you don't get because you're around a wrong woman. And verse five, he said you'll be brought to a piece of bread, nothing, no substance. Your life will be brought to a piece of bread. If you want to write down some other scriptures and look at them in your own time where the father talks to his sons about this issue, you can look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 24 through 29. Proverbs 6, verses 24 through 29. Proverbs 7, verses 5 through 27. Proverbs 7, verses 5 through 27. And Proverbs 9, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Five things. It'll take your life. Lust will take your life. It'll bring you down to sickness. It'll take you down to a piece of bread. You'll give your honor to another. Strangers will possess your wealth. On and on. It's a big issue. The enemy, you got to understand, he deals in deception. Remember back in the garden? Eat the apple. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to bite. Eat it. God's lying to you. It's not really that big of a deal. In fact, he's just trying to keep you from enjoying what he knows you will enjoy if you eat of the apple. Man fell for it. He throws that same kind of thing out to men all the time. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not going to hurt you to look at that. But you know what it does? I was praying about this and I said, Lord, I don't know how to communicate that to a man where they will understand that these things really could do that to them. See, as a pastor, you know that right off the bat. I mean, they teach you that in Bible school, that, you know, these issues could take you out of ministry. Many, many pastors have fallen to this, and men and other people in the church will obviously remove them from a position of power. So, but how does that affect you as a businessman? You know, if you're a pastor, of course, you know, it can cost you your job. But as a businessman, how could it really keep you from getting wealth? As a businessman, how could what I look at on the computer really, really bring sickness into my life? How could that really, I mean, will adultery really take me down to a piece of bread? I mean, obviously for a pastor it would, but as a businessman. And here's, I was praying, and this happened at the Steak Escape too. It was the same moment. I was praying about these issues, getting ready. This was on Thursday, and the Lord spoke this to my heart. He said, this is why. Sex without love will kill a man's soul. He spoke that as clear as day to my heart. Sex for a man without love, without in the guardian, the arena of love, will kill a man's soul. This is why when people do any type of lust, whether it's fornication, adultery, pornography, whatever, this is why they do it, they keep doing it. Why? Because it doesn't give you anything. It actually takes something from you. It's taking a piece of your soul. And with that, you feel emptier after you do it than when you started. So what do? You look for the next high, and then the next high, and then the next high, and then the next high. Why? It's keeping taking something from your own soul. Loneliness, depression, fear, anxiety. All of those things are attached to all of that. You feel like you need to be even more of a man the next time. Why? It's taking something from you. And it's going to keep doing that. And keep doing that. And keep doing that. But instead of it taking your peace away, it starts taking your health away. Instead of taking your joy away, it starts taking your family away. Because your wife and your kids, they can see it. It takes away your willpower and creativity. So on the job, you're not as creative as you used to be. You're not as focused. So the financial results aren't clicking like they should. And then not only that, there is space to repent in the Lord, but outside of that space, His anointing, the call is always there, but His empowerment, friend, I'm telling you, as a man, we've got to understand this sex without love deal. Out of the perimeters of love, it kills a man's soul. The good news is that sex with love does the complete opposite. Sex is God's gift. It is a gift from God. He designed it to bless man, to have it be something that releases intimacy and love within marriage. This is why I love Proverbs chapter 5. He talks about don't be with a strange woman over and over again. But watch this in verse 15. He says, don't be with a strange woman. Don't get around these women. Don't even go near the door of her house. But in verse 15, he says, drink waters out of your own cistern. Running waters out of thine own well. This is God talking to his sons. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only with thine own and not with strangers with thee. Let the fountain be blessed. He's saying that when it's just you and your wife in this relationship, that fountain, that relationship is blessed. But if you start, have you ever, had a cup and say it was your cup, you know, my water here, and just say a whole bunch of guys said, you know, I'm really thirsty. And they all came down here and started drinking from it. I mean, one after the next, one after the next, one after the next. And then, you know, finally, you know, it got down to the bottom and it was all backwash. And I said, you want a drink? Would you take it? No, you wouldn't take it. Well, he's saying that when you are engaged in all of these relationships with other women, you're bringing that into your marriage. Even if it's off of a computer screen, you're bringing that into your marriage. And it's going to cause that thing to lose the blessing that God intended it for it to have in that marriage covenant. He said it's got to be dealt with. Keep reading here. And he said, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Verse 19, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son? This is God talking to his boys. Be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray. What's he saying? If he doesn't listen to me, this issue is going to take him. He's saying instead of having all of this lust, he says, point that energy to your wife. I'm going to give you three tips here in closing on how to deal with this issue. Once again, this is no condemnation. This is not intended to beat us up. This is intended to open up our eyes to see we cannot keep going through the motions with this issue. It's not something that I can just hide on Saturday and come and be a Christian on Sunday. This is an issue that we have to deal with. Three tips. Number one, he said, do not go near the door of her house. Jesus said, cut it off. Cut it off. Pluck it out. What's he saying when he's doing that? He's saying any opportunity that you have to cut it off, cut it off. If it's with another woman who's not your wife, if it's with a girlfriend, if you're not married and you're in a dating type relationship, he's saying if that is done outside of the arena of love, it will kill your soul. Cut it off. Stop doing it. Well, somebody said, well, I'm trying to stop doing it. Build in safeguards if you have to. On your computer, there's a program that I highly recommend. It's called Safe Eyes. It blocks all images, even from wrong websites that are masked as, you know, selling furniture, but it's really pornography. Those types, it'll mask all of that where you can't even access it. It'll say website denied. You can buy that system. I have it on my office computer. I have it on my home computer. At my office here, my secretary has the passcode. At any time, she can come and look at whatever websites I visited. She can look at all that kind of stuff. At home, my wife is the administrator. She sets the password. If I need to, it keeps you logged in. But if you ever have to restart or something like that, your wife enters in the passcode. She can look at every website I have ever looked at. Why? That's not only a safeguard for me. It's a safeguard for them and this ministry. At any time, if someone said Pastor Joel was involved with that, I could say, no, I wasn't. Go ask my secretary because she looks at the thing every week. So you can set it up even on this Safe Eyes thing where you give your, if you don't have a wife or something like that and you have to enter in the passcode, obviously you can choose to turn it off or turn it on. So they built in another safeguard for men. You can actually give your account info to another man, and that man can help monitor your activity from another place. Why? Accountability. Cut it off. The second point, I call this one, say, I love my wife. If you're not married, say, I love my God. I was talking to a man who's a very successful businessman. He lives in another state. And he was telling me his testimony. And years ago, his business was suffering big time. His health was deteriorating. And he was also engaged in multiple different affairs while he was a married man. A Christian at the same time. He had accepted Jesus in his heart even as a young boy, but he was engaged in all these activities. Just a shell of a man. I wish maybe one day I'll have him get up and give his testimony. I mean, just broken on every way. He'd started in business as a young man, achieved a lot of success, made a lot of money, and with that came a lot of heartache. Other drugs and alcohol and all of those things. And finally, it brought him to a piece of bread. And he's sitting there and he knows he's got to make a life change. He knows for him this issue that he's got to deal with is this issue of lust. And so he's praying one day and asking, Lord, help me. I'm trying to cut this off. It's like what T.D. Jakes said, lust is like getting delivered from Pharaoh. You remember Moses? He came and said, let my people go. And finally, after much struggle, they let him go, only to find out when they're there at the Red Sea, here comes Pharaoh again. It's like that oftentimes with lust. You win it. I mean, you haven't dealt with it for months on end, but here you see Pharaoh coming back, trying to get your attention. And when that happens, when you feel that pressure, you can't just sit there and let Pharaoh or lust have you. What do? You got to use your authority. Moses lifted up his rod, and when he did, the Red Sea split, and he walked over to the other side. It's the same way with lust. You got to use your authority. How do you use your authority? It's like Brother Hagin said, you cannot stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. And with lust, the enemy is going to bombard you with thoughts all the time. Something as simple as a billboard or something like that, and that thought will come to you. When it comes, do not let it build a nest in your hair. How do you stop it? You beat it back. How do you beat it back? With words. And that's where this man was. He was sitting there dealing with all of these lust issues, trying to overcome it. For years, he had tried to beat it in his own strength and couldn't. The Lord told him, every time you see a woman and you start thinking lustful thoughts, every time lust comes to your mind, say out of your mouth, I love my wife. Say it out. Even if that's the furthest thing removed for you. At this time, his wife and him were separated, not divorced, but separated. He said, say it out of your mouth, even if you don't feel it. I love my wife. If you have to say it 100 times a day because lust keeps attacking your mind, say it 100 times a day. I love my wife. I will honor my wife. I will keep lust out of my life. In Jesus' name, I love my wife. On and on and on. Someone said, I'm not married. What do? Say, I love my God. I'll not dishonor him. I'll not discredit him. Say out of your mouth, I love him. I will not hurt him. You got to use your authority, use your words. First thing, cut it off. Second deal, use your authority. And then the third thing, go to God. Go to God. There was a man, David, when he committed that act with Bathsheba. He was a tortured man. See, he didn't realize what was going on. He committed this act of adultery with Bathsheba, got her pregnant. You know the story, had her husband killed. And for months, he's living with this. You know that he didn't just sleep with her that time. You know he was sleeping with her all throughout this time. And for months, he has not repented. Finally, God sends a man, Nathan, a prophet, to come and say, you got to repent of this business. You got to deal with this. And David did. He went and asked the Lord for forgiveness. And out of that, he wrote a psalm. Does anyone know what psalm that is? I heard someone say it, Psalm 51. Let's go over there and look at it in closing. Psalm 51, you're going to see what lust does to a man who holds on to it. David had holding on to this issue for months, undoubtedly having sex with Bathsheba all throughout this time. And finally, he realizes this is something I need to deal with. And out of it, he wrote a psalm called Psalm 51. And in this is when he was dealing with this lust. And watch what he says here in Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Once again, lust, it takes something away from you that makes you feel like you need more. So you keep going after it. It's ever before you. When you're dealing with that issue of lust, if you dabble in it, eventually you will dive into it. And it will start consuming your life. He said, my sin is ever before me. I like this in verse 4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Other people haven't noticed it. Other people aren't saying anything about it. For months he still lived as king. And no one was dealing with him any other way. Why? But the Lord saw what was going on. And he said that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou makest me know wisdom. Purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. See what it does to you. That junk takes away all the joy and gladness out of your life, that thy bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Rejoy unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with the free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, that my mouth may show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, or else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You see here a man who's miserable. No joy, no gladness. He's lived this way for months and didn't know what it was until the man of God came and showed him. It's because you're in this sin. And he said, God, I need to be dealt with. He went and threw himself on the altar of God and said, cleanse me. Bring back your presence in my life. Forgive me. I offer you a contrite heart. You're not interested in me just slaying a whole bunch of animals. I offer you a sacrifice of my heart. When David did this, David got cleaned. And this is what I want to end with. The way David got cleaned is the way you get clean as well. And it's not only the way you get cleaned, it's the way you stay cleaned. Jesus said, come unto me, all those that hunger and thirst. What's he saying? Man, the appetites of a man, I'm not just talking about getting hungry, we got barbecue waiting for us. The appetites of a man are so many different things. A lust for power, a lust for wealth, a lust for recognition, for respect, for sex, for all of these other things. Your flesh will hunger for those things. But he says, when you come to me, you'll not hunger again. He's not talking about you'll never have to come back to him. He's saying that when you go to him, your taste for all of those things falls by the wayside. Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord and it was so wonderful and powerful that when you left that service and went somewhere else, it just seemed like even natural conversation at a restaurant or noise was just dirty almost? You didn't want to be around it because you were in the presence of the Lord. That's the way Jesus is saying that if you come to me, you're going to find something that's so much richer and so much better than all that other junk, you will lose your taste for it entirely. Friend, this issue, you know, years ago at Rhema, they recommended a book called Every Man's Battle. Friend, I'm telling you, it is a battle that every man has to fight. But you can fight it with the Lord and you can win that battle. You can temper that lust just like you temper a lust for alcohol, where you don't even think about it anymore. You don't even desire it anymore. How do you do it? You got to keep saying no to it. And so I tried saying no to it. Well, that's just it. Don't try to keep doing it in your own strength. Go to the Lord. His grace is sufficient for you. He will come in your life. He will help you stay clean. You got to have that time with him on a day in, day out basis. Friend, I want to encourage you. You're not alone in this. The Father is watching you. He wants to help you just like a father would love to help his son. If you're in that place, he's not ready to condemn you. If you're in that place where David found himself at, he's not ready to jump all over you and beat you up and say, how could you do something so stupid? That's not the Father's heart. The Father's heart is to say, come here. Let me help you get clean. Let me teach you how to be clean. Let me teach you how to be a success. Let me teach you how to live a life that is an effective man. Friend, I'm telling you, God can do it. What we're going to do in these series is, like I said, there are three different issues. At all of these different meetings, we'll touch on these things periodically. in the Power Up meeting that'll happen probably in January. We'll pick a Monday, and from then on, it'll be like the first Monday of the month. We'll meet together as men and talk about business principles, have breakfast, and interview a Christian businessman. We're also offering discipleship now. You can sign up for discipleship. If you say, I want to be held accountable in my relationship with God, I want to be held accountable by other Christian men who won't judge me, but who will help me overcome these things. I want to grow as a Christian man. I need someone to hold me accountable. You can sign up for that too. They'll meet with small groups and go over things that'll help you, call you on a weekly basis to encourage your walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you, if you want that, sign up. And not only that, for our fellowships, even on the cards that you filled out, we want to know what you're interested in so that we can provide you with more fellowships that are up your alley. We're going to have these types of meetings, these Mighty Men Big meetings, probably 6 times a year. So we'll have another one coming up in the start of the new year. I want to encourage you, come to them. Bring people here. We won't meet long. Like we said, a typical service will be about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And then after that, we'll have time for lunch. And from here on out, all big, Mighty Men events will be free. We're not going to charge a dime for it. Even when we do food, I'm going to make it free. I'm not interested in making money. I don't want your money. What I'm interested in is making sure we as men have a place that we can escape to develop into mighty men. This is what this ministry is about. This is what this men's ministry is about. And we are all determined to live that way. Amen. So we invite you, sign up for what you want to sign up for. And not only that, keep coming to these Mighty Men events when we have them. Let's close your eyes and let's pray. Go before the Lord here. We'll bless the food at the same time. Father, we come before you today and we do love you.